You're listening to the Winning Teams Podcast, presented by Jet Dental, the premier pop-up dental clinic for workplaces nationwide. Now, here's your host, Jordan Smith.
Hey, everyone, and thanks for joining us on the Winning Teams Podcast. Today, we're excited to be joined by Danielle Mulvey. And Danielle is a former flight attendant turned $50 million plus in annual revenue entrepreneur. And she has cracked the code on how to profitably scale multiple businesses. So typically, Danielle works 10 to 12 hours per week on her $50 million plus in annual revenue businesses. And thanks to having five-star employees working in her companies, Danielle is free to spend the balance of her work week guiding other entrepreneurs on how to recruit, hire, and retain their own dream teams of five-star employees via podcasting, speaking, workshops, coaching, and community curating. Danielle, thanks for joining us today.
Awesome. I'm so happy to be here, Jordan.
And Danielle's joining us from the beautiful Dana Point, California, and I'm super jealous here in Utah of your weather. So thank you for being on with us today. Tell us a little bit more in your own words about the winning teams that you're helping to build with these other entrepreneurs across the country.
Yeah. So as the official Profit First podcast, Profit First Nation, in working with entrepreneurs, I discovered that they're one of the biggest struggles for businesses with 10 or more employees and $1 million or more in real revenue was their payroll expense. So there's only two ways to increase profitability, increase margin and decrease expenses. And so if you have too many 1, 2, and 3-star employees on your payroll, they are just that's profitability going out the door, because 1 5-star employee does the work of 2 or 3 1 or 2 3-star employees for the same price. So if you have 3-star employees and you're paying them $50,000, it's going to take you to 2 of those 3-star employees and paying $100,000 in salary to those 2 employees versus having 1 5-star employee that you're paying $50,000 to. So, you know, that was a big aha for me, because in our businesses, and, you know, I've been an entrepreneur for 25 years. And one thing I learned early on and, you know, kind of the reason why I have this margin in my week to work with other entrepreneurs is because I know how to recruit, hire, and retain 5-star employees. I hire people who are smarter and better at me and who love what they do. I mean, I can do bookkeeping, but I hate it. So why would I do it? You know? And I think people kind of get into that role. I mean, I could get a job as a bookkeeper tomorrow easily. I could get 5 offers, but I would be, I'm going to be generous, a 2-star employee when it would come to bookkeeping. I would do it, but I would hate it. So I wouldn't be very productive. I wouldn't be very efficient. So, you know, it's really, really important that entrepreneurs really understand their talent and don't settle. Don't settle for less than 5-star employees in your business.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it begs the question, so how do you do it? You know, how did you crack this code, and what are some of the ways you find 5-star talent and then keep them?
Yeah. So I started with top grading. So about 25 years ago, I went through Birthing of Giants at MIT with Vern Harnish and really learned top grading and brought that back to my business. Because prior to that, when I was 25 and started my first business, you know, I would hire people I had 2 candidates for a junior account executive position. They both graduated from my alma mater. And how I determined which one I was actually going to make the offer to was the one who was in my same sorority. We weren't in the house at the same time, but we were with the same sorority. So like, really, like, how does that, you know, prove anything? I was lucky with her. But then, you know, further down, a couple hires later, I hired again someone I hired a brother, and I went to college with his sister. And then he was fraternity brothers with another one of my employees at another university. So I'm like, okay, great. I'll hire him. Well, he just made everyone miserable. He was a toxic employee. I woke up on a Monday morning thinking, oh my gosh, can I call in sick to my own company? I didn't even want to go to work at my own company. And I used to have so much joy going to work and enjoying my employees and enjoying my clients. And he made it so, so miserable. And so I'm just like, oh, I can't let this happen again. And so a couple weeks later, I had gone to that top grading session and I just dove right into top grading. And then over the years, as we've opened other businesses and we opened a business in Indiana, we're located in California, I had to figure out like more of a system and a better process for recruiting and hiring, since I was going to be, you know, thousands of miles away. And so that's just kind of been the evolution of the five-star employee rating system that I've used over the years to recruit, hire, and retain five-star employees.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think the best experience is not just, the best teacher is not just experience, but reflected experience. So I think that's awesome that you were able to look at some of those experiences and say, okay, I got to learn from that and I got to do something new. So you've developed this impressive process, the five-star employee review process. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and what are some of the ways you evaluate whether someone's going to be a great fit for your organization?
Yeah, so it's an objective system and it's based on, you guessed it, five stars. So the first star is core values. So the first thing that you're going to evaluate a candidate on is alignment with your core values. And when we talk about core values, we're talking about like the owner or the president or the leader's true core values, not the aspirational values, but the true core values. And, you know, with those core values, you are going to, you know, make them loud and clear with clarifying statements, really explain what you mean by those core values. Yeah. And start with it in the job posting. You need to be talking about it at every step in your recruitment and hiring process. And that will attract the five-star candidates, the people like you, and it will repel the 1, 2, and 3-star candidates who can find a slew of other jobs that they can just apply and collect a paycheck. Right. So, and then the second star is the 11 qualities. So we have identified 11 universal qualities of a five-star employee. So regardless of a role, these are just the universal qualities that just make for one aspect of a five-star employee. And in that we have two qualities that are we color code green, and those qualities are easy for people to change. So if someone scores low on that, that's fine. We have two qualities that are red, and those red ones are very difficult to change. So if someone isn't passing muster or meeting the minimal acceptable rating for that quality in your assessment process, then that's just a red flag that the candidate stops there and you move on to other candidates. And so examples of the red qualities are flexibility and active listening. So we were recruiting, and you know, I mean, with my businesses, like I'm not just a coach saying how to do it. I'm sharing with you my experiences. Our community is sharing their experiences with other members of our community. So it's very dynamic and it's reacting to the market now. And we were recruiting in February, and I had a candidate who had taken the assessment, scored 70% or higher, had passed the skills testing, and was now doing the screening interview. And I was doing the screening interview with them. And about 3 minutes in to the screening interview, I'm like, she's not answering my questions. She's just talking, but not answering. So I was cognizant of that and said, okay, well, I'm going to just kind of slow my roll a little bit, ask more simple questions to see if I can get her to answer just directly a basic question. And about 5 minutes in, it was clear she was not an active listener. And an active listening is a quality that we have highlighted as red. And so at that point, I just said, you know, I'm sorry, but I just don't think that this is going to be a good fit for us and for you. So, you know, thank you so much. But I think we'll conclude the interview at this point and move on. So as soon as you have this a gut feeling, or as soon as a red flag shows up, or as soon as something doesn't make sense, Like, that's the universe telling you to stop right there. And you have to be like bold enough to say, okay, thank you. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel like, well, I scheduled a 30-minute screening interview with them and I feel bad if I'm cutting it short at 5 minutes. I mean, no, what's worse is you wasting their time for another 25 minutes when you know you're not going to hire them. Yeah. So then you have the 11 qualities there. Then the third star in the 5-star employee rating system is aptitudes and skills. So we have a comprehensive list of aptitudes and skills with definitions. So I think what's really interesting in everything that we talk about with the 11 qualities, with the core values, and with the aptitudes and skills, it's really important that you get real clear and very specific about what you mean. So, going back to the 11 qualities, one of the 11 qualities is flexibility. Well, I could line up 10 of my fellow Profit First professionals who have accounting firms, and they'll all have a job posting that says flexible. But I can guarantee you all 5 of them have different expectations and definitions of flexibility. Yeah. And some of them, I would say, well, that's not very flexible. So it's really important that in all of this, that you get clear, that you take the time and get it out of your head of what your expectation is. You know, people are failing at the job and failing with, you know, the owner or the hiring manager because they're not meeting the expectations. And oftentimes it's because those expectations haven't been clearly defined. So the third star is aptitudes and skills. It's really important that, you know, for the role, you know exactly what aptitudes you need and what you're looking for in those aptitudes. And then you're asking questions specific to that. And then you've got to test their skills. I mean, people can say they're a bookkeeper, and just because they say they're a bookkeeper doesn't mean that they really can do bookkeeping. Anyone can call themselves a bookkeeper. There is no licensing or certification for bookkeeping.
Right.
So it's really important that for each role, you have skills you need, and you need to test for those skills. And then the fourth star is success metrics. So, you know, what are the 3 to 5 key responsibilities for the role? And then what does success look like for the role? What are the success metrics associated with those key responsibilities? And you want to quantify those success metrics with dollars and numbers. So, for example, in our claims exam business, we're processing long-term care claims. And so people have to meet a 98% financial accuracy, a 95% procedural accuracy, and they need to process 42 claims a day. And we are very upfront about that throughout the hiring process, and that we measure it, and that, there is a write-up process if you miss 2 months in a row, et cetera. But we're very clear. And, you know, I've looked at other claims examination roles, and I've never seen metrics from other employers hiring claims examiners in terms of what they're looking for and what success looks like for the role. And, you know, again, this whole process is going to bring you the 5-star candidates, and again, repel the 1, 2, and 3-star candidates, because we don't need to be tempted by them. A 5-star candidate represents the top 15% of available talent in the market. So statistically, 1 in 7 candidates is a 5-star candidate. So you really need like 21 applicants to have 3 potential 5-star candidates. So it's a numbers game. And what we want to do is we want to eliminate the temptation of settling for a 1, 2, or 3-star candidate. And then, I'm on a roll with...
No, that's perfect. I started with great data. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, so let's finish the fifth one. So the fifth one in the 5-star employee rating system is return on payroll. So this is a little bit more comprehensive of an exercise, and it really helps people get clear on their budgets for payroll and salaries and wages. And because what you're looking for is you're looking for at least a 3x return on an individual's salary. So if you're paying someone $50,000 a year, you know, they need to be producing a 3x return on that salary. And every role should be contributing in some fashion. I mean, the admin needs to be doing something that is contributing to revenue in some form or fashion. And you just have to figure it out, and you can figure it out. And that will make your company more efficient, more stronger. It will really build that winning team when you look at the role and you look at the position and you design it to make sure it's producing a 3x return on that salary.
I mean, that's a very comprehensive list of things that you're doing. And you talked about when your claims business, it sounds like you're not only using this just to hire, but you actually use the system to evaluate current employees. Is that accurate?
Yeah, for sure. So when we teach the system, we teach it and have you evaluate your current employees because you already know that talent. So it proves this process and this system to yourself. And then you're kind of like, oh my gosh, yeah. He's not the guy with a high sense of ownership, and you know that's one of our core values. And so you know you would have looked for that and found it in the recruitment process, but you just didn't know, and you ended up hiring this guy. Mm-hmm. So testing this system on your existing talent is really good. But yes, we actually, you know, our employee reviews are based on this. To a certain degree. I mean, we're not overwhelming them with all of the aptitudes and all of the all of the qualities, but you know, as a manager, you know, you're picking one, two, or three things that where the opportunity is for the employee to work on. But we do talk about the core values in every review. I mean, we talk about them every day. We celebrate, we give praise, we give correction based off the core values. You know, if someone's dropping the ball, it's like, hey, you know, remember, we've got ownership here. Yeah. And we've got to own it and take care of it. So that's how you can use the core values on a daily basis. With the success metrics, I mean, clearly, you know, when you quantify how many dollars or a number to their key responsibilities, and you're tracking that, you know, on a whatever basis. For our claims exam business, we're tracking it on a monthly basis. You know, they're getting those reports on a monthly basis, so everything's very transparent and nothing's a surprise. But then, you know, they get a big summary of what the whole year looked like for them in their annual review process.
What do you find as you're meeting with entrepreneurs across the country and business owners, what do you find is some of the most common mistakes that these entrepreneurs are making? I mean, I'm sure that they're not implementing as robust a system as you are, but in general, what are some of the most common mistakes you see hiring managers or owners making?
So I think the biggest mistake is they want a rainbow unicorn with sparkles. So, I mean, when someone, and I usually see this with the smaller organizations, and sort of I'll call them rookie mistakes. So, you know, when you're a smaller organization, you're going to hire one person, and so you need them to wear 10 different hats. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily 10, but you're expecting them to wear three different hats. And the expectations of them are typically like, well, I need them, like, it's usually like an admin role or support role. Well, I need them to do our marketing. I need them to take care of my emails, and I need them to take care of the correspondence and such with clients. And it's like, oh, and then, you know, maybe they can like enter some stuff into QuickBooks. And it's like, I mean, that's set up for failure. So I think, especially in today's market, and I think especially for entrepreneurs, because they have a little bit more flexibility, they have, I think, more savviness. that what they can do is they can, you know, break out the roles. And there is tremendous talent out there that wants to work 10 hours a week. There's tremendous talent out there that want to work 20 hours a week, 15 hours a week. So, you know, my advice would be to, you know, not try to find that purple unicorn, but find four stallions who can do the work of one purple unicorn. And, you know, it's just divided up in time across those four people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good analogy. I like the four stallion and not one unicorn analogy. talk to me about with your process. I'm sure still, though, people make mistakes, right?
People are people, and
it's not perfect. How do you know when to move on when you get someone in that's maybe just not a fit?
When it's not a fit, you got to let them go. They won't recover. They won't recover, and you'll know quickly. I mean, when someone gives someone a 6-month, like, I'll give them 6 months to turn it around. I mean, I could become a surgeon in 6 months. Like, you know, these jobs shouldn't require a 6-month lead time for them to do the job that they applied for and said they could do when they started. So, so the most important thing to do is, and to realize is, this person knows they're not doing well, but they're comfortable. They're collecting a paycheck, and you're not yelling at them, and you know it's kind of fine, and it's a bit scary out there in the world. So they tend to just stay because they've got this paycheck, and they're usually not actively looking either. But the best thing that you can do for them is to let them go, and you know. When you let someone go, you're transitioning them to alumni status. They're not a bad person, but it's just not a fit here. And it's time for them to move on to another organization where it will be a better fit for their talents and their skills so that they can shine. Because just because someone's not a 5-star employee in your organization doesn't mean they're not a 5-star employee in another role at another organization. So, I mean, remember, I'm a 2-star bookkeeper, but I'm a 5-star entrepreneur. So, you know, if I took a bookkeeping role, I'd be a 2-star employee. But, you know, doing what I'm really good at, I'm a 5-star. So, and when you let someone go, it's an announcement. It's not a discussion. So I like to do, you know, if a transition has to happen, I recommend standing up and, you know, doing it standing. And, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise to them. And it's very quick. And you make the statement, you make the announcement, this is your last day. And, you know, here's a box and here's your check and we wish you well. And then just guide them out the door and get them out as quickly as possible, because you are the last person on earth who is going to be able to provide them comfort and sympathy and empathy. They need to get out and move on with their lives and find that comfort and sympathy from someone else.
I love that. In fact, we had a recent podcast with Jared Olson, a very successful people experience leader. And he said, kind of just what you said, he said, if I have to say something really difficult, I try to say it in one exhale. This is just not working out. Like, it's got to come out in one, like one statement, one easy statement. And you got to address the brutal facts right away. So I love that. It's an announcement and you just address it head on. We're about out of time. I want to give you the final word. What is your best advice for building a winning team?
My best advice for building a winning team is to not go for the unicorn and to find the four stallions. So, you know, just get very specific on what you need and find someone who can fill that specific niche and not try to like dump on them too many, pulling them in different directions. And, you know, it's about leveraging the right time. I mean, people are not productive 40 hours a day. I mean, or 40 hours a week. Like the studies show that productivity really is about 3.5 hours per day of maximum productivity. So, you know, I mean, I'm a big proponent of, you know, let them work 6 hours, let them work 5 hours, let them work 4 hours, pay them for that time. But you know, don't think you're going to get 40 hours of total productivity. That's just, not realistic. And so you're going to be disappointed if you have unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think that's a great example. And I think you're right. There's a lot of people who are working for part-time that would be great fits that often get overlooked. Danielle, how can our listeners get in touch with you if they want to learn more?
Yeah. So, I mean, just go to 5starEmployees.com, 5starEmployees.com.
Awesome. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for sharing your insights on how to find and keep 5-star employees. We really appreciate your expert advice, and best of luck to you and the winning teams you're helping build across the country.
Awesome. Thanks, Jordan.